It is that time again for another episode of The Dumb Phone Show, and my name is Jose Briones, and today we have Andrew Folt, who is also a YouTuber, he's also a creator, and he also uses the Lightphone 2. So Andrew, tell us a little bit more about yourself, what's your channel about, and why the Lightphone 2?
Yeah, so thanks for inviting me on the show. Like, you were the reason that I discovered the Lightphone in the first place, because your year review video, which is really cool. I'm a writer and illustrator from Rochester, New York. I make videos about creativity, minimalism, and barefoot running, so I have kind of an interesting mix going on. I went to college for advertising. I worked in as a copywriter for about a year in New Jersey, like a lot of creatives do. And then also, like a lot of creatives do, I kind of burned out working at a 9-to-5 job. And then I decided to start a freelance business. So I was doing coding and web design for small businesses for about 5 years. And I kind of got to the end of that, like not knowing where to go with anything. And I kind of started calling it creative ADHD because I had all of these skills, but I had no idea what to do with them. And so I wrote a book called 365 Comics, where I did one comic every day for an entire year. And it was really grueling, but it kind of introduced me to the idea of like digital minimalism and simplifying my life and starting to cut things out. And I got to the end of that challenge. And after I published the book, I was super burned out. And my social media use was just going out of control. So I thought, I have to do something about this. So I saw your video and I decided to give the Lightphone a shot. And up until then, really, I thought maybe this thing was a gimmick. But then when I saw you talking about it, it was like, here's this really long, cool experience that I had. I'm like, yeah, this looks like a legitimate product. So I ended up making a YouTube video about it, which was a ton of fun. And that's kind of how we got connected. So that's a little backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of different ways, you know, to use a Lightphone, and a lot of different reasons to arrive, right, at the usage. You're in the arts. You're like in the, you know, creative writing, of course, like, you know, illustrating. And this is quite work that you need a lot of attention, because you need creativity. Yeah. You need time. You make a lot of mistakes, a lot of reruns, right? But I'm kind of interested to see how it has helped you in that perspective. How has the Lightphone, or just using this minimal voice phone experience, it's not, you know, it doesn't have all the apps, it doesn't have all the things. How has it helped you professionally? And also, how has it limited you professionally as well in a constantly changing market for creatives online?
Yeah, so the Lightphone is a really interesting device. I mean, the first thing that you notice about it is it's sort of like you don't want to use it because the e-ink is a little bit slower, and there's no internet connection, there's no social media, so it doesn't really follow you around, which is nice. So like, if I'm working all day and then I go for a hike, I can bring my phone with me and I don't feel like I'm bringing all of the internet and social media with me. So that's really cool. I also have an iPad, so it wasn't a gigantic leap for me to, I actually sold my iPhone. So it wasn't really a big leap for me on that front, but it is different not having this thing like in your pocket that you can constantly check. So I feel like it's made me more productive in terms of being a content creator, because when I engage with people, I do it usually through, you know, like my iMac. And I'm more focused, you know, I'm like doing it in one chunk as opposed to constantly checking social media, where you end up just kind of like, what are my stats? How many likes am I getting? And you get kind of burned out that way. So I feel like it's really helped me segment my time and set boundaries a little better.
I assume that there's also, you know, you're creating content for YouTube, you're creating content also for, you know, other platforms, and promoting it at the same time. You have some analog products, right? And that kind of like, that's how you interact mostly, and then you also create videos and things of that nature. How do you keep that balance? It can be difficult for a lot of people to, especially that work in this knowledge sector, right? Like, I work with email, I work with all of these different things.
Yeah.
Do you think that it makes you a little bit less aware of what's happening, maybe missing out? Like, I think that's a lot of the people have fear about that. A lot of people have.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an internet connection, you still have a connection to people. You can talk to people on Facebook Messenger through your computer. Or you can use an iPad. There are a lot of ways to stay connected. And on the other side, I don't think that just getting a light phone, if you have a serious social media addiction, is going to completely solve the problem either, because there are so many different places where you can access social media. But it just makes it so that you don't have this thing in your pocket where you're sort of reaching for it like the old Western cowboy, you know, like where, like at all moments you could access this. I've had a lot of really good conversations with people, especially working, if I'm doing social media on the computer, because I can type out slightly longer response. I can take a little time thinking about it. And even when I'm like texting people, it works more slowly. So either I'm thinking more about what I want to say when I'm communicating with people, or sometimes it's just so slow that I get frustrated and I just call them, you know, and you end up having a better conversation than you would have if you were just going back and forth texting with people. So I've been really enjoying those parts of it.
A lot of people look at those inconveniences and say, that's too bad. I don't want that. I want something that works, that feels fast, right? Like, you know, it's just something that I'm used to. You had an iPhone, right? Before doing this, and you actually made a video, right, where you were reviewing the iPhone and the light phone kind of experiences. And at the same time, you said, by the end of this video, I'm going to put it on eBay. First question is, how did you make that transition? Because I know a lot of people have that kind of like, oh, I come from the iPhone, there's everything available. And number two, has the device sold?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I had the auction and it sold, but the buyer decided not to buy it. So I was going to relist it. And then the friend that I originally gave it to take care of it while I was, you know, doing the 2 months with just the light phone, ended up buying it, you know, so like it worked out. She didn't want to go to minimalist phone. So, and her iPhone was, you know, kind of getting older. So that worked out. But in the beginning, yeah, it was really hard, because I remember the first time I turned the light phone on and I'm kind of like flicking through the screens. And if you've used e-ink before, there's this slow refresh, like it has to refresh every time it changes. And I literally felt like I was going to have a panic attack because it was going so slowly. And the thought going through my mind was, oh my God, I'm going to get left behind. Like, I'm going to get left behind by all of humanity. But like I said, if you have other devices, it's really not a big deal. I could see it being more problematic if you were in the city. And I know you've talked about this, where you have to have QR codes and things like that. But once you kind of find some little workarounds, it's not a big deal. I mean, probably after a week, I didn't really even miss my phone at all, my iPhone at all. And you know, like I said, I was connecting more deeply with people, having conversations. I've been jamming with a friend at the end of the day for music, to get my music kicking. And yeah, it's been going really well.
Something that happens quite often as people transition to minimalist devices is that they find themselves using more of the other devices. So you trade your phone to your desktop and your iPad. And to a lot of people, that seems quote unquote hypocritical, because you are doing the same thing, spending the same time around. So have you found yourself to do that? And do you think the going down to the minimalist device was worth it, just for those extra maybe an hour or two that you're not spending in front of your computer?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the light phone is that it doesn't, or with an iPhone, is that it can kind of go places with you, which is the major frustration for me. It's like I can never get away from technology until I had the light phone. But that said, like, yeah, my laptop usage, my iPad usage went up. I would love to find a way to get rid of my iPad, because it's less convenient than the iPhone, but still convenient enough where you can like take it into bed with you. And I don't like that. But I don't have a solution for that yet. So maybe light phone will come out with a light iPad that does drawing That's the major reason why I can't get rid of the iPad. Actually, remind me of the original question, because I feel like I'm going off.
Well, my question is kind of like with usage. So have you found yourself to be using more the iPad or just as you used to use it before?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of like you talked about, you know, there's a spike in the beginning where you use it a lot more. And then as you go on, like, it's really up to you. If you still have an internet connection and when you're at home, you have to set up boundaries for yourself. And the major thing that's helped for me is getting a good night of sleep. I find that once I sleep well, I can maintain those boundaries. I just found with the iPhone, it was too many devices. Even with a good night of sleep, it's like I have the iPhone, the iMac, I have a MacBook, and you know, it was just too much. It was around all the time. So even with a good night of sleep, it didn't work. But now that I got rid of the iPhone, it's like one less thing, and it's like I can deal with it. At least I can go places and not have to take technology with me.
That sounds very interesting, because I think that a lot of us do not recognize that state where you are constantly doing something or looking up something. And it's not just when you go outside, but also it's when you're inside, when you're in bed. These devices are so powerful nowadays that they just allow us to have that experience, you know, and convenience at the end of the day. It is convenient, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I guess there's also the false dichotomy that once you go with a minimalist device, it's kind of like, oh, then you should never be online. You should never, you know, do this. And a lot of people have that misconception. I didn't quit the internet. I just quit my access to it. And it's okay if I ask people for, hey, can I look something up? Like, you know, because I think a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just get a smartphone? And I chose to not do it. Yeah. And hey, you have it available. That's okay. You know, like, I mean, your friend or whatever, right? Like, you know, maybe people can get frustrated at that because it seems like it's all or nothing for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like,
it depends on who you talk to too, mm-hmm. because like some people may get annoyed by it, and probably the people that are most annoyed by it are the people who are most attached by their phone. They're attached to their phones. Like, you see comments on light phone videos where people are kind of knocking it for the price, and it's like, oh, this isn't worth it. And I just have to imagine that those people are really feeling an addiction to their phone and just not knowing how to deal with it. And it is like, it's a leap, you know, it's not easy. But on the other hand, like, other people are kind of like interested in it. You know, now that I've had the light phone for a while, and I go over to a friend's house or out or whatever, people see it and they're like, oh, what is that? You know, everyone knows a flip phone, but no one's used to this kind of like little minimalist e-ink thing. And so either they become interested in it and maybe they want to buy it, or they're kind of like amused by having to help you out. You know, like, it creates like a little bond, you know, if it's like, here's this Luddite person who is like, doesn't have access to the QR code they need or the internet access or whatever, and they can help you out, you know, it can be like a fun little like joke.
Yeah. And I think that you definitely put the bonding experience, right? Like, you know, that you can make new friends or meet new people or ask strangers, you know, just have that, those kind of conversations that we didn't have before. And that's just kind of like the reality, because we're so focused on our devices. Now, there is another segment, right? Like, your channel blew up because of a running video, right? Like, you know, you
barefoot running,
right? So you're doing it, you have been doing it for quite a while. Before, do you used to take like digital devices in your runs as well? Or was that something like kind of like a break that you used to take, and now you kind of don't have those kind of crutches, I guess?
Yeah, I used to take, you know, before I had the iPhone, I had the iPod, and I would take that on my runs. You know, I had the typical armbands, and I don't remember exactly when I stopped taking it, but I think what happened was that one day the battery on my iPod just died while I was in the middle of a run, and so I had to take my headphones off, and it was kind of like, have you seen the movie WALL-E? Yeah, so there's the scene where he sort of like, the guy that's in the chair kind of floating around, and there's all these human beings and the spaceship, and the guy reaches over to give WALL-E the drink, and he falls out of this sort of automatic chair that he's in, and he looks around, and he sees the world for the first time. That's sort of what it was like when when the iPod died. It's like, oh, like I could hear nature again. Like I could hear squirrels chattering. And then as I was running, I realized there's all this information that I was missing out about my body, you know, in like a way of sort of being more creative and, you know, spiritual or however you want to see it, but also in a practical way of like, I had these little aches and pains that I wasn't noticing because I was listening to podcasts and I was listening to music. And so, yeah, I haven't used any music or any technology on my runs ever since. And it's been a really cool experience.
That's good to hear, because I think you're also kind of encountering a completely different space. It's completely different to just your regular kind of like, I'm not spending time online, but now I get to see what's in the world once again and also listen to myself. And I think that's something that we have lost, the time to just think by ourselves, be bored, right? Like, you know, reflect on our days, reflect on our lives. And I think it's maybe because it's uncomfortable, right? Like, you know, very few people are living lives that they enjoy. We can find faults within ourselves, and sometimes we're uncomfortable doing that because we may fall into, you know, this or doing that. And I guess it can be difficult, but I would say it's absolutely necessary. I want to explore a couple of other areas. How did you arrive at the light phone? So you are using now this minimal phone, but was it just the videos? Was it, you know, kind of like, there are other devices out there, like the, you know, flip phones and candy bar phones, Nokia, you know, whatever it is. So why the light phone? Why the $299 device?
Yeah. I think it started probably for me when I had my Alias 2 back in high school, because it had, for anyone that's seen it or used it, it was one of the first devices to have an e-ink keyboard. And, you know, you would flip it one way and the keyboard would be for typing, and you would flip it the other way and it would have, you know, numbers for calling. And this, it just blew my mind, because it e-ink is so cool. It looks like magic. So that was sort of where the idea kind of took hold for me. But then, you know, it wasn't until years later that I think I saw the Indiegogo for the light phone. And that was probably a year before I actually bought it. And I didn't think much about it because the problem wasn't that bad yet. But then after I finished my book, it was like, this is something that is seriously screwing with my life now. And I was very motivated to solve the problem. So, I was dealing with insomnia and I couldn't work and I had no energy. And so at the same time, my YouTube was kind of blowing up from this one barefoot video. And I'm like, I have to solve this problem because here's this huge opportunity and I can't do anything about it because I'm so freaking tired from looking at social media and being on the internet on my phone. So then I saw your video, and that really put me over the edge, because a lot of the videos that were out there were just kind of like the 30-day, oh, I tried the light phone, and here's my experience. But like, you had a really long, meaningful experience with it. So I'm like, this is not just a gimmick, but something that can be really cool to bring into my life.
And I think that that's also another part of the conversation. You know, when a lot of people transition into these minimalist devices or even the, you know, non-smartphones, it's a shocker in the beginning. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you have to adjust. You have to learn how to live again, how to function in society again with a completely different outlook, just because you don't have access or quick access to all of the things that you used to have. And I think that that's what makes it special. So if you try for 30 days, sure, it's a nice little challenge. But if you learn to live with it, like, you know, without all of these conveniences, then you start interpreting things completely differently, you know. And I think that's what's important at the same time. I'd like to talk a little bit more about your 365 journey. So you started doing this illustration book. And you put a lot of effort into it. I checked your website, and it seems to me that it didn't work out as like as much as you wanted to work out. And that's kind of like what made you reconsider a lot of other things in that journey.
Yeah.
How did that play out?
It was funny because I had spent these 5 years as a freelancer, and I really never made progress in terms of finding a career that felt sustainable for me, you know, emotionally, financially, which is what a lot of creative people are struggling with. You know, even if they're making decent money, they just, something is not right. You know, they don't have the balance they need in their life. They feel like their clients are controlling them. So I felt like I was all over the place in terms of the skills that I had, and I really wanted to get focused on that. And I didn't have a financial plan for this book. I just thought, I don't know, I'm just gonna do it and everything will come together because it's such a big idea that something will come from it. And I was right. I mean, the thing that I wanted to happen with it didn't happen in terms of like making a bunch of money, but the skills that I got from drawing a comic every day in terms of productivity and simplifying my life, I mean, the reason my room is now like clean and, you know, usable as a YouTube set had to do with just the personal development work and the subtracting, you know, taking something away every day. So, you know, through that, I learned how to subtract all the stuff that wasn't working in my life. And once I did that, I was able to kind of blow up on YouTube, because a lot of people have too much. There's too much stuff going on in their lives and their videos. And when you take that stuff away is when things will really start to change for you.
When you are creating now, and of course, like, you know, you have different experiences. YouTube is a huge opportunity now for you. Where do you see your channel going? You're kind of like in the early beginnings of shaping kind of like the niche, right? Is it more going to be about you, the creative process, drawing, lifestyle? What is it that you're looking to do?
Yeah, I think, well, right now I'm just kind of going all in on the barefoot stuff. I mean, I made the light phone video mostly because I had to get rid of my iPhone. And I thought, if I get rid of my iPhone, I'll never be able to make this review. So, you know, that I just had to do that. But the general theme of the channel is going to be creativity, minimalism, and barefoot running, kind of three things that really go together. Barefoot running, the most subtractive type of running that you can do. Minimalism, I see, is sort of like organizational type videos and how to simplify your life. And then creativity, I think that, you know, kind of like iteration, like that style of not doing a bunch of different things, but just doing one thing, you know, like I did my comics every day for an entire year. And you learn so much by doing that, by subtracting all of the other things that you could do and just focusing on one thing at a time. You know, I'd like to do some coaching in the future because I really like working with people, both being coached myself and, you know, helping people figure out how to simplify their lives. So, yeah, and then want to write a book. I have another book in mind, and I think this one will be more successful because it's more aimed at kind of like a how-to for creatives rather than my book, which really the reason that it failed was that it was just kind of about me. And that was fine because it was really a personal development journey and not really like my videos where they're becoming how-to stuff.
And I think that, I mean, where you see it as a quote-unquote failure to a certain degree, there was some success that came out of it, right? And isn't it that the kind of like the role that some of these devices also play? Like, you know, when I think of people say, you know, I tried it and it didn't work for me, but I learned this. Like, you know, like I at least got the, hey, you can do this without this. I don't need these many apps. I can live with the bare essentials, yeah. Right? So like, you know, even if you think that you're at that failing point, it's also a good point for you to learn new lessons and reconsider, hey, what can I do differently next time? It's not going to be the end of the world per se.
Yeah. Right? It's really important to be open to your options because sometimes the thing that you thought that was going to be everything to you turns out to be nothing. And then if you attach yourself to that, you miss the opportunities that you could see.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you very much for coming. We're getting into the final section of the podcast, and I'd like to ask you a question and then I'll give you a final word. I'd like to know, how has the light phone overall? I think there is a theme that we have caught in here, and you have said, focus on one thing, you know, kind of organize what's important. You have learned a lot of lessons, but is there something that you're missing? Like, you know, is there something that the experience has made you recognize, hey, smartphones are also helpful. I wish I had this like kind of like one thing that would make my life just a little bit better, right? Like, you know, and it's not to add, because you said like subtracting and focusing on the bare minimums, but where do you see your journey going? Maybe that's what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I don't really miss anything from my iPhone. I know it sounds insane to say, because I was so attached to it, like, you know, such a short time. I mean, just 2 months ago, like, I couldn't live without it. And now I'm like, I don't know, I don't even think about it. But I think a lot of that has to do with sort of the work that I put in beforehand to simplify things. And I guess the general theme for Lightphone and all the other things my video is about, and probably your video is about too, is just the idea of less. It's like, how do you explore space in your life? And that's something that I'm still trying to do, just in terms of finding those lines where I'm kind of fixated on more, you know, more, and how do I open up that space where I'm subtracting things and just calming down, slowing down, like listening to what's around me and seeing, you know, those new types of opportunities that I didn't think were there. I mean, there's lots of fertile terrain to kind of grow in there that I haven't explored yet.
Is the YouTube now going to be your main focus into the exploration of less and how to live with less? I think that following your journey will be something helpful for a lot of people. Is that where you're kind of heading to?
Yeah. I mean, it was completely accidental, but now I've realized that it's like an introverted kind of creative person who doesn't want to be on a schedule. Like, YouTube is, you know, I wish that I had gotten on YouTube 10 years ago, but I wouldn't have had the story. And that's kind of important. I mean, like we're talking about, when you try something, even if it doesn't work out, you have the story. And I'm, you know, case A for that, because I spent, I don't even know what it was, it was just thousands of hours, you know, 2,000 hours working on this book that didn't sell at all. But it, you know, like you said, it's not a failure, because the thing that came out of it, the YouTube account, it was like, you know, that's my whole life now. So yeah, it was a great experience.
And after that, there's other things that will come as well. Like, you know, I mean, YouTube is not going to last forever. I think it's part of like the journey, right? But then eventually you kind of have to grow and go into different directions. And maybe YouTube is kind of like just a side thing. And, you know, it's such an expansive thing that, I think a lot of us need to explore once again, goals, life, how to live, you know, with the basics, essentials, like, you know, and look forward to that. Yeah. Andrew, thank you very much for coming to the podcast. We really appreciate the conversation, get to know you a little bit more. We like to try to keep these short, you know, in order to let people go with their lives, you know, kind of like the basics only. But if people want to find more about you, where to find you, kind of like websites, social media, if you have it, things of that nature. And also, I'll like to give you a final word after that. Just share some of the websites, and then whatever you want to say to the people, this is your time.
Yeah, so people can find me at Andrew Foltz on YouTube.com. On Instagram, there's also comics at FLines. I'm on Twitter at FLines as well. And, you know, as far as advice, I would just say, I probably the best minimalist advice that I've ever gotten was from Christo, who's the CEO of the future. And he said, if things aren't adding up, start subtracting. And that that line has helped me solve so many problems in life. It's like, if you don't know what's going on, you're stressed, you're confused, it's like, just start taking away things and see what happens. And it doesn't mean you have to take them away forever, but just doing that, you know, taking that leap will teach you something that helps you move forward.
That was Andrew Foltz from his... I'll do that one. That was Andrew Foltz with us today. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you have any feedback or anything else, make sure to send it to the YouTube channel or any of his other products, social media accounts. All the links will be in the description below. And thank you for listening again. As always, we like to remind you to stay focused on your goals.